Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Am I doing too much or am I doing not enough? When you live with scoliosis, it's really, really difficult to know what is the right amount of exercise. What is the amount of exercise that is actually helpful and beneficial for us? Because sometimes, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this, it's hard to know, am I not doing very well because I don't do enough exercise, or am I not doing very well because I do too much exercise? Or maybe it's a little bit of a combination, or maybe I'm just simply not doing the right exercise. So this is what we're talking about today. Welcome if you are here live. I can see some of you already tuning in, which is really lovely. So feel free to use the chat. It's just me today. So I don't have an interview guest today, as I've kind of prepared a little bit of a few talking points about this topic, because I have definitely my thoughts about this. I will be sharing also what has worked for me, what has worked for my clients, and feel free to obviously chip in. Let me know if you've got any specific questions while I'm going through this. And if this is your first time here, welcome to Back Chat. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry, and I am a yoga and Pilates teacher. And I have specialized for the last 10 years, maybe even more, in just working with people who have scoliosis, because I feel that really scoliosis can be a really, really big problem that is often not taken seriously by health professionals. And especially for adults, there's a lot of help out there for children, for teenagers. But once we are adults, it just kind of seems that it's said, well, unless you want to have surgery, there's nothing really we can do for you. Obviously, nobody wants to have surgery. So we want to do anything we can, obviously, to avoid this. So I think this is a really, really important topic. What is actually the right amount of exercise? Because nobody wants to spend their whole day exercising, right? We have other things to do. We've got lives, right? There's plenty of other things I could be doing with my time rather than spending the whole day in the gym. So why does this question actually come up so often? And I think it comes up because we are scared. We are scared to do the wrong thing. We are scared to not do enough. We are scared to, I don't think very often people are actually scared of doing too much. I do think that people are usually scared that we always, as a human being, I think generally for 95% of people, we think whatever we do is just not enough. We're just not doing it right. And I think this is so ingrained in us that this type of thinking, it comes out in all different aspects of our lives. This feeling of, I'm not enough, I'm not doing enough. And I think we do have to kind of dismantle this a little bit and kind of think about where does this come from? This is a whole different subject, of course. But also really thinking about, is this actually true? Am I really not doing enough? So obviously we don't want to make our condition worse. We also, I think what the other thing that sometimes comes up is if you've got pain, you might not be too sure about, is it pain because I'm doing too much exercise, or is it pain because I'm doing the wrong type of exercise? So these are just kind of some things to keep at the back of our minds, just to think about maybe, and asking ourselves, is this actually true and is this actually valid? So when we talk about exercise, what are we actually talking about? And what I am talking about here on this channel is obviously yoga and Pilates based, because I find that these are very, very good and beneficial types of exercise for scoliosis. I'm talking about things like walking, which is another one that most people do. I'm talking about things like swimming. I'm talking about things like cardio, for example, if you love running, if you like the cardio machines in the gym, for example, cross trainer, treadmill, anything like that. I'm talking about strength training. I'm talking about combination of flexibility and mobility. So we can already see that there is really a really wide variety of types of exercise that are available. And generally, what we like for scoliosis tends to be low impact. It is just sometimes the slower exercise. That's what I found over the years of practicing. If you practice mindfully, if you practice a little bit slower, rather than just kind of doing things quickly and going through the motion, you've got time to adapt. You've got time to maybe kind of think about, how can I adjust myself a little bit more to be in a little bit more alignment and not just falling into my scoliosis pattern. So it kind of brings me to the first point already that, in my opinion, it's quality over quantity. So we want to do things well. We want to do our exercise well, and then we don't have to do so much as well. The other thing, you do want to do something that you at least enjoy a little bit, because if you do not enjoy it, then it's very, very unlikely that you're going to keep up with this. And consistency is a big thing. And I hear this over and over again with people who have gone through exercise programs, and it might be targeted to whatever. It might be osteoporosis or scoliosis, or maybe just kind of a general fitness program. And or physio is probably a better example. You've been given physio exercises. You have the list of things to do, but you're not doing them. And really, we should be asking ourselves, why are we not doing them? So we're probably not doing them because we're not convinced it's actually going to work, and also that it's simply not enjoyable. There are actually studies out there that show that really any type of exercise is better than no exercise for scoliosis. So this is just, this is one of the probably the most important things to take away from this chat, that any movement is better than no movement. And yes, there are some movements which are maybe more productive, or maybe kind of serving ourselves a little bit better. And that's the whole reason why I obviously came up with my membership Shine, because I wanted to make sure that there are exercises in there that are safe in terms of, they are things that address the type of problems that we've got with scoliosis, which is not just the imbalance, the asymmetry, that one side is behaving differently to the other, that muscles are asymmetric, but it's also that it's often coupled with other things like hypermobility, for example, and like osteoporosis, especially in adults and especially in people over 40. Good. Hi, everyone. So I see Tobias saying hello. Feel free, obviously, if you are here live, to use the chat. Let us know where you're from and how much you exercise at the moment. Are you already doing a lot of exercise? And yes, feel free to post your questions. There might be a little bit of a delay. Sometimes this happens with these live streams, that there is a little bit of a delay. So if I don't answer them straight away, I do see them here on the screen. It might just take me a little bit. Okay, so we've talked about the type of exercise that might be good. Now, how often is actually enough? And when I start working with people, and we're doing this at the moment in the practice transformation, I start by saying, let's do 10 minutes every single day. 10 minutes a day. And then we kind of, this is the way we start to work out what are the type of things that might actually be beneficial for us. Because if we do a huge practice and then we feel sore the next day, we don't really know what was it exactly that that caused the problems, right? What was it that maybe was too much, or what was it that caused the pain? So this is what I would say. If you are not doing exercise at the moment, don't start with doing all the things, and don't start with the what is the ideal. Start with 10 minutes every day and then be consistent and start to build it up. Good. So showing some exercise. I'm not showing any exercises today, but you have the YouTube channel here. I think I've got about 350 videos on there right now, which are practice videos and where you can absolutely practice with me. Good. That's it. Okay, so I'm not quite sure what you are saying. I would tell you which and what. Okay, not quite sure, but yes, we're not practicing today. But you will find these in all the playlists as well. Okay, I'm currently recovering from an illness, but normally I do several classes at a health club, including strength, cardio, bar, water aerobics in warmer weather. I love that. Yes, and I don't love that you have an illness right now, obviously, but I love that you are doing a mixture of several different things. And I love that you say water aerobics in warmer weather as well, because this is really, really important. Your exercise should be a balance to whatever is going on in your life. And I agree to this. I agree with this as well, that weather is actually one of these things. So I actually am much more likely to do some cardio if it's cold, because I love getting warm and I love getting a little bit of heat into my body if it's cold outside. If it's really hot, I'm less likely to do it, and I probably won't get the same benefits out of this as well. Okay, I would like to see modifications to make with scoliosis. I do have a few really good videos. There's a few recent ones where I show, and this depends on what type of exercise we're talking about, but there is a really good one with three yoga poses, and I show you how to modify them as well. And that might be, generally our principles are, how can we get more length into our spine with scoliosis? Because scoliosis has got a side bend with a rotation. So the best thing we can do is create length in our spine and also address some of those asymmetries as well. So if you've got an asymmetric yoga pose, for example, like a triangle pose, Trikonasana, you might be doing them differently on one side to the other, because unlike people who have got a normal spine, whatever that means, we have got obviously either one or two or three curvatures in the spine. And that might just mean that when we bend over to one side. This might look completely different and feel completely different than going over to the other side. Good. Lovely. So Laura is saying Pilates mood. Is that your that's your hot weather mood, I'm guessing. I know Laura is in Argentina, so it's probably really, really hot at the moment. Kathleen is saying 20 to 30 minutes of yoga and Pilates, 45 minutes walking or low impact aerobics. Hi, Louisa. Lovely to see you here as well. Yes, I do like that. 20 to 30 minutes of yoga, Pilates, 45 minutes of walking, low impact aerobics. It all kind of depends on, first of all, what fits into your life, but you also need to see what stage are you at the moment in your life. And for me, I am in my mid 40s now. I know the older I get, the more strength I will need and the more strengthening I will need. This is why, and a lot of my longtime followers and members of the Shine membership know this. This is why I brought in the Pilates practice, not because I love it so much. I do love yoga. I do really appreciate Pilates and I love the benefits of Pilates. It's been such a great addition and it's been so, so useful, especially then, because then I started going to the gym a little bit more and doing a little bit more kind of resistance training, using some of those heavier weights. And I wouldn't have been able to do it without the Pilates practice, which gave me that kind of stability, that core strength and stability. So it's been a really, really good kind of base type of exercise that's been beneficial in so many different ways. Good. But I love that a lot of you have a plan. And I think a habit, having a plan and a habit is a really, really good thing. I know for me, for example, I've got a little puppy now. And she is, we're doing agility training with my dog right now, which I love doing. It's actually exercise for me as well, which is great. But the point is that it's another kind of commitment and it's kind of thrown my little routine, my exercise routine for me a little bit out the window. So I'm having to reorganize myself right now because I do want to make sure that I get my resistance training in. So I'm having to now figure out when does this actually fit into my week and can I not just say, oh, I'm going to go to the gym twice a week and I'll just see where it goes. No, I'm going to put this into my calendar and say, whatever, Tuesday morning, that time is when I do this. And it might even be something that I do at home. It doesn't matter. If it's not in my calendar, I know for myself, it's not going to happen. So having this kind of, we don't want to get too strict with ourselves, obviously. And I know things happen, family things might happen. We get ill, we're recovering from something. Yes, things change. But having this overall plan can be really, really useful. And yes, I agree, agility is fun. It is really good fun. I did not realize how difficult it is. I just thought it's just a jog jumping over obstacles and stuff. But it's actually quite a lot about the person doing the agility training with the dog. Okay, Laura's saying, as for me, I exercise daily, but I'm now turning more into the Pilates mood because I guess that at my age, it's more useful to be strong without neglecting walking, elongation, and stretching. Yes, absolutely. And with our Pilates as well, again, I think it's a really easy way to then start loading the body a little bit more. And it doesn't have to be difficult. We just start to use some heavier weights. We start to use some heavier resistance bands. And that's all. Good. My husband could hardly keep up with a dog when he did agility training. Yes, Honestly, that's how I feel at the moment. I'm usually at the wrong place. I'm usually in her way. And then she just goes for it, and she's much too fast for me. But it's good, right? And it's, again, it's something that I enjoy it. The dog enjoys it, so I enjoy it even more. And it makes me move as well. So good for everyone. Now, do I kind of think about my scoliosis while I do this? I don't. And there is a lot of what, there's a lot of kind of stop and go, and there's a lot of turning. And I might feel afterwards, oh, actually, there's been kind of a lot of rotational things going on. And that just might mean that afterwards, what I do in my practice, in my yoga practice, in my Pilates practice, might be a little bit more symmetrical, a lot of lying on the floor, just kind of releasing muscles. But I then choose my exercises depending on what other things I've been doing during the day. Okay, so we've got a question about trampoline. So mini trampoline, is that any good? So I would ask a few more questions there. Is this something you've been kind of doing all your life, or is this a new activity? I would also ask how old you are, and simply just to know if your spine is still growing, or if you're an adult. I would also ask if you're experiencing any pain. So these are the type of things I would consider when making a decision about different types of exercise, because we, at the end of the day, we're all different. You know, I don't know, you might be kind of a professional athlete and you just want to do a little bit of bouncing in between for fun, or you might be someone who's not done any exercises and who wants to start building up with a little bit of cardio on the trampoline. Okay, what swimming strokes are best with right thoracic scoliosis? Which not to do? This is a great question. And I am not a swimming expert. However, I do watch my children every week and they are pretty good. So I know what is going on. As far as I know, there is no asymmetric swimming stroke. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? It's either going to be front crawl, it's going to be backstroke, it's going to be butterfly. What else? And then there's the dolphin type of thing as well, right? So there is nothing where you're just moving one arm. That would be a little bit more where I would be like, let's maybe look at this. But because you're doing it symmetrically, you're also, what I would say is with the rotation, if you are doing a front crawl, you're turning to the side, right, to breathe. I would notice maybe if there is a difference when you're turning towards your right and when you're turning to your left. And I would probably be very confident in saying it's probably easier to turn to your right with a right thoracic curve. And tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if it's the other way. And that is simply just to kind of establish where your scoliosis is taking you into a more asymmetric pattern. And in that case, and that's what I did with my front crawl, I really had to train myself to turn to the left. So we do the three strokes, breathing, one, two, three, and then going over to the other side. So making sure I do both sides. Okay, what about side stroke? I don't know what that is, Liz, sorry. Backstroke is a really, really good one for scoliosis. It's probably my favorite because you're just kind of being on your back and you're looking up towards the ceiling. So there is not so much, you're moving, you're getting your movement in, but your neck stays in this a little bit more neutral position as well. Good. I just turned 60. I've always been active, but I don't feel pain when I'm jumping. This is about the trampoline, isn't it? Okay, mine has a bar which I hold on to. Okay, so we don't have to worry about falling, which is great. Don't feel pain. That's fabulous as well. I think you're good there. And especially because the mini trampolines, they're still quite firm, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. They're not too, sometimes if you get the big trampoline, you kind of, it's got a different type of, there's more impact on the spine when you're bouncing, and there's kind of this compression and then there's this recoil. And I feel that you've got this more with a bigger trampoline. Generally, they do advise for children, for teenagers with scoliosis, that not to be their main sport, the trampoline, because it's probably one of the ones that has got more impact on the spine, and especially if you're quite flexible and if you don't have a lot of strength. However, if you're an adult, which you are at the age of 60, and you don't have any pain and you don't have any kind of problems in that area, just make sure that you're also not neglecting your strengthening practice and possibly your resetting practice afterwards. If you feel like sometimes if we do something without kind of thinking about it too much, we're doing something a little bit more difficult, we start to fall more into our scoliosis pattern. So it's then just about coming out of it afterwards. Good. I'm hoping that this makes sense. So we do want to, that's something we do want to consider, obviously, how do we feel after exercises? And as I said, if you keep it to a shorter practice, you get much more information about what might be useful and what might not have been so useful. Because if you do too many different things, especially on one day, you don't know which one was the one that caused the problem. Good. Hi, Lauren. Lauren is saying, I exercise every day approximately for 1 hour, aerobics, weights, balance, yoga for many years. I'm always in some type of pain. Sometimes I think I should decrease, but I'm afraid it's a slippery slope is the next one. Yes. So I would experiment with this. And sometimes we are afraid of dialing things back or kind of putting a pause on something. Because then we know it's difficult to start up again, right? And you might have some experience with this, Lauren. I don't know. Maybe you had a period in your life where you had to stop exercising and you found it really, really difficult to go back into it again. So I love that you exercise every day. If you are always in some type of pain, I would build in a little bit more rest. And it doesn't mean if you still want to exercise, well, if you still want to do something every single day, then that's fine. But have those days where you're prioritizing rest. So, and what do I mean by that? That might just be very, very gentle yoga. It might be breathing. It might be relaxation, shavasana, something like that. Because all the good things are happening when we rest. Now, this might contradict what I said before with when I said any movement is better than no movement, but it doesn't. We do need both. And when I say no movement, I mean something like sitting for long periods of time, being on the sofa. That would not be resting for me. So constructive rest would be in, for scoliosis, would be in a symmetrical position where there's the minimum amount of stress on the body. And that's not going to be hanging on the, even though this might feel kind of restful for a moment, there is stress on the body. If you rest like this, right? Some muscles get shortened, some muscles get overstretched. Your body is not going to thank you for this. So for a constructive rest, you do have to balance yourself out. We use that constructive rest with some wedges or eye pillows to put underneath the convex side, for example, for a little bit of derotation, lying on your back and breathing, relaxing, active relaxation. That could be one of your days, right? So I would, Lauren, I would see if we can maybe not dial it back, but maybe think about what are the type of things. Is it too much different type of movements, or can it maybe also involve something a little bit slower, something a little bit more calming to bring the nervous system down? Because if you're experiencing pain, that means your nervous system is in a state of alarm. And if your nervous system is in a state of alarm, adding more alarm to it is not going to work. Okay, so we've got a question about where to rest. I'm going to come to that. Okay. I'm really worried about starting up again after being ill. It's going to be difficult. Yes. I feel that if I miss a day, then it's my fault if pain comes. So this is this. Thank you for sharing this, Becca. This is why we have to be really kind to ourselves. If you are missing a day, things are not going to fall apart, because if you are missing a day, it means that you have been doing a lot of things on the other days, right? So you are, you already have that consistency in your life. Now, what we don't want to do is kind of miss another day, because then when we miss another day, then it becomes kind of a little bit of a routine to miss more days. And then that becomes a little bit more difficult. But if you're missing one day, that's absolutely fine. Starting up again after being ill is difficult. However, have you ever noticed when you've been doing something quite consistently and then you're not doing it for a little while and you come back to it, it's definitely easier than when you first started, whatever that might be, because the body does remember. And it does remember, there is that muscle memory that will come back a lot more easily when you already had that consistency, then you've been ill, and then you're coming back into it. Obviously, you're not going to throw yourself completely into it and do exactly the same as you did before. You're going to ease your way into it. And working up to it gradually. Good. So doing, I don't know if I'm saying this right. Yarad work is also an exercise, but not symmetrical. Should I stress trying to use one side over the other, convex versus concave? I'm right-handed and tend to do more that way. And did you say you've got a right thoracic curve? Was that you? It's not as easy as that, unfortunately. Should we be doing more on the concave side or convex side? Because there's never just one curvature. Even if you have a C curve, there'll be compensation below and above the curvature as well, going into the opposite direction. So it's not as simply as saying, oh, I'm just going to strengthen one side a little bit more than the other. It depends on what type of exercise it is. So what exactly are you doing? I like to think of it as, can I create space in the areas that need more space while I strengthen overall. And strengthening overall, if you do have a very obvious side, if you're doing a, let's say you're doing a side plank, and it's very obvious that it's harder on one side than the other, then I would be saying, yes, maybe let's do the difficult side first, then we do the easy side, and then we come back to the difficult side again. So that's one thing, listening to that. And then the other thing would be, when I do my strengthening, am I compressing in any way into those sides that I might be collapsing into this? And I haven't seen you, of course, so I don't know what that is, but I did speak to somebody today who has got right thoracic, left lumbar curve. And the thoracic doesn't give her any problems, but the lumbar curve does, and she collapses into her waist. So for her, I would be saying, oh, can we keep that right waist nice and spacious while you're doing your strengthening? Good. Where is best to rest, in bed, or can it be on a couch? And we're talking about constructive rest, right? You can obviously, you can rest anywhere. You can rest sitting somewhere and looking into nature, obviously, as well. What you want to do is, when you're resting, again, as I said before, that there is the minimum amount of stress on your body. And stress just might mean some muscles have to work and other muscles don't. So that would be a stress, for example. So this is why I love restorative yoga, where we support ourselves with lots and lots of props. So we always make sure there's lots and lots of blankets, blocks, bolsters around us so that we don't have to hold on. So if you're having to hold on, gripping and tightening anywhere in the body, that would not be constructive rest, in my opinion. So yes, you can rest on your couch, but not in the way that I showed, like this, right? It might be, you know, supporting yourself, lots of cushions. Maybe you're creating like you're a little bit of a restorative pose on your couch. So there's definitely ways you can do this. Good. Best sleeping position and sitting positions. Doesn't quite fit in our, we have been talking about rest, haven't we? Sleeping positions, you've got a few videos on this YouTube channel. It will be in the most popular video section where I go into detail for S-curve scoliosis and for C-curve scoliosis as well. Okay, Kathleen is saying she's a right thoracic left lumbar. Good. So how long should be an exercise session to be really useful and make a real difference? That's a great question. Thank you for asking this. So I, in my opinion, again, it's quality over quantity. So you do not have to do a long session. And there has been kind of a lot of research on this, and I really enjoy the work of Stacey Sims, for example. She's an expert in exercise, and especially women's exercise, and especially menopausal women, women over 40. So you could have a look at her work. And she is actually saying, which is something that I'm implementing at the moment in my exercises, when I work with a little bit heavier weights, it's less repetitions. She's actually only saying 5 repetitions and rest in between. So more is not always better. It's the quality. And I think that's really the thing that we want to take away from this chat today. It's quality over quantity. Yes, we want to do something every day, but it doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be an hour exercise, right? And who came up with this that it has to be an hour? And I know this, I've been teaching obviously group yoga classes as well. My yoga class is 1 hour that I teach in the Shine membership. My Pilates class is 45 minutes. People are asking, oh, can this be an hour long? I prefer to keep the sessions nowadays a little bit shorter. When I go to the gym, I say to myself, I'm going to go there for half an hour. In and out. I don't particularly enjoy it. So I'm just going to do the things that I know that are really, really good for my body. Like that, I'm going to enjoy it a little bit more, but then I'm out. I'm much more likely to come back if it hasn't been complete torture and completely painful. So if you're saying I don't have time for an hour workout every single day, don't worry about it. It's quality over quantity. Good. So I'm hoping that helps. How long? Again, there has been some research. It's going to depend on what you're doing. If you're doing heavy resistance training, it really doesn't have to be long at all, of course. They're even saying nowadays, if you're doing cardio, really 15, 20 minutes is more than enough. You do not need it to be longer than that, really. Good. So let me just double check that I've told you everything I wanted to know. Obviously, we do want to differentiate as well. How do we feel afterwards? Is it muscle pain or is it maybe some type of joint pain? And muscle pain obviously goes away. Usually, if you're taking a hot shower, usually it feels better, for example. We want to kind of differentiate a little bit. Where is this soreness coming from and how long does it last, right? If it doesn't last very long, absolutely fine. You don't want to be sore 4 days, of course. That would be a sign that this has been too much. Good. And then I think it's really important to have your emergency kit, your little toolkit for things where you know it always makes me feel better when I do this. There's some go-to exercises. They help me with my lower back pain. They help me with my neck and shoulder pain. And then have kind of a couple of routines that you can do, maybe one in the morning and then one in the evening. It doesn't mean that you have to practice every morning, every evening. It's just having those kind of there in case you need them. And sometimes we've got more time in the morning and we want a little something to get going. And sometimes we want something in the evening, which could be a little bit more resetting work as well. So you've got plenty of videos here on this YouTube channel to get you going with this. If this is new to you, if you want a little bit more guidance and a little bit more structure, then do join us in the Shine membership, in the Shine Plus membership. We've got a group yoga class a week, we've got a Pilates class a week, and then you've got a full library of videos, different lengths. You've got workshops, you've got educational videos about S-curve, about C-curve, osteoporosis, lots and lots of different things to help you with your exercise regime. Good. So as for single pose, when I'm in pain, Shavasana never let me down. Yes, and I always say this to my members, if you only have time for one thing, let it be Shavasana, because our nervous system nowadays, especially with all this input that we get and our phones and the news and everything around us, we are in this heightened state of like nervous system overload, basically. So you cannot go wrong really with Shavasana, or yes, constructive resting pose as well. So anything that you can do kind of to calm your nervous system, gentle movement is perfect. Good. Thank you so much, guys. That was really fun. Thank you so much for everybody who joined the chat as well, which makes it a lot more interesting. I can make it more relevant, obviously, for you guys as well. And I see you very soon. Bye, everyone.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.